You'll notice David's joining me this morning because it went pretty well 2 weeks ago when Hannah and I did a tag team message. So we're going to give it a shot with David this time. So you can hold up your scorecards at the end and let us know how it goes. But a little pre-warning, it was a long one at 9 o'clock. We're going to do our best to be a little more disciplined in our thoughts and our sharings, but you might want to strap in and get comfortable. Nice we got cushy seats, hey? Anyways, no, we will try and be timely, but I did want to give fair warning. This is week 5 of our Come Follow Me series. It's a vision series we've been sitting in for 5 weeks, and there's 3 more to come, all around who we are as a church, the things that we're orienting ourselves around as a church as we pursue the way of Jesus together. So Come Follow Me being this invitation from Jesus to come and apprentice ourselves to Him. That's what it means to be a disciple. Is maybe the best translation of the term disciple is apprentice, where we're not just learning information about Jesus, but we're actually learning His ways of life and following those and embodying those and living those out for ourselves. So that's what we've been focused on. We said, you know, right throughout the series, there's 3 main aims or 3 main goals that every disciple of Jesus orients their whole life around: to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what He would do if He was in your shoes. So that's what we're reorienting our whole church around, is that we want to do all we can do here at The Well to reorient ourselves around being with Jesus, becoming like Him, doing what He does. The language we use is around tangible presence, counterformation, and sacrificial mission. That this is what we're about: presence, formation, and mission. And you've heard me talk over the last few weeks around what that means to be a people marked by the presence of God. That we know the presence of God, we love the presence of God, we seek the presence of God, but we also know how to host and hold the presence of God, not only for our own benefit and blessing, but for the sake of others. Primarily through a culture of prayer and worship around here, that we be people who pray consistently and passionately and intentionally and also worship. We be people who become like Jesus. That is counterformation, counter being away from the ways of the world and transformed into the ways of Jesus. Again, more than information, but actually transformed to become increasingly like Jesus, Christ-like, as we grow in grace with Him, that we might actually be sent by Him as missionaries, as witnesses into the world, wherever we go, that we would do as He does, where we'd make the gospel known, where we'd offer demonstrations of God's grace and goodness and love wherever we go, that we would express His love in those places wherever we go. And so this week, we're honing in on, this is like our second week in the formation space. What does it mean for us to become like Jesus? And I talked about that last week, kind of gave a bit of a biblical vision for formation, Christ-likeness, how we're pursuing that on a high level. And today we're going into the how we're outworking that here at The Well. So we're going to get a little bit practical. David's going to give some really good detail around how we're outworking that and pursuing that here at The Well. But that's where we're going. So who knows the phrase? See if you can finish this sentence with me. It takes a village to raise a child, right? It's this old mantra we've heard. It's actually an African proverb that is well known and widely used. It takes a village to raise a child. And actually, this morning I've called our message, and David signed off on it. It's all right. I didn't just inflict this on him. I called our message, "It Takes a Village." It takes a village. And then I put, you know, like the colon, formational communities, that we'd be actually part of communities of formation. See, here's the thing. I think oftentimes we go, it takes a village to raise a child. And then we define village in our own ways, don't we? We go, well, what we mean by that is it's our family, it's our extended family, it's our friends, and maybe one or two other people that we like. But that's not actually how a village coheres. That's not actually how a village is built together and made together. Actually, a village, it consists of family and friends and those people we like, but also some neighbors over the fence who maybe you don't like that much. Maybe some people that you work with. You know, there's some people who kind of put in place policies and some kind of rules and laws that kind of govern the way in which we live together in the village. There's some people who are teachers and do the education of children. And there are those who, you know, medical care and health care to look after. All of these things kind of overlap and work together to create an environment that's like safe for children to be nurtured and nourished and grow up to be healthy, you know, beautiful, you know, contributing kids, right? I mean, that's the dream, right? And here's my big idea for the day. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, this accepted wisdom that we all, you know, trot out every, you know, I think it also takes a village to raise a disciple. It's not just my idea. In fact, it's Jesus' idea. And we've drifted a long way from it, if we're honest, particularly in the Western world, where our villages have been so dismantled and fragmented and broken apart. Not just at the family level, but actually at all kinds of levels where we've separated and we've distanced ourselves and we've disconnected from those things that cohere and hold together a village. And so we no longer feel like we have those environments that are safe and nurturing and conducive to our flourishing and well-being. I think Jesus has something different to say about it, and that's what we're going to turn our attention to this morning. David, you want to take us into the ways of Jesus in forming disciples?
Yes, so this morning we're going to journey through how Jesus forms his disciples. And we're going to do that by stepping through some moments in the Gospel of Mark. So if you've got a Bible on you, I'd invite you to open up to Mark chapter 1. If you've got one of our green Bibles, it's page 699. I'm going to read from Mark 1, verses 16 onwards, which says, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him." That we see this moment where Jesus calls his disciples. These people, Simon and Andrew, that we see from the text, already have a way of life. They are fishermen. They've been trained to be fishermen. It's the family trade. They've learned it from their father, who's probably learned it from his father. I imagine the expectations is, I'm going to teach this to my son, who's going to teach it to his son. This is what I'm part of. And Jesus comes in the midst of this and says, "Come, follow me. I call you to reorient your life around apprenticing yourself to me. This will now be your priority." And there's a sense in which we see all they lose, right? Like they're leaving their family trade, all they've known, stepping into this unknown with Jesus. But we also get a glimpse of what they gain. That by accepting this invitation, they're accepting an invitation of constant presence with Jesus. That Jesus says, "Come, I want to be alongside you each day, every day, teaching you, guiding you, leading you." And I don't know about you, but the models of learning that I grew up in, that I went through, were you go away and you learn the information, learn some theories of how to apply it, with the goal of if I get high enough grades, I'll get to apply for a job when I might get to work with the person who I want to imitate. And that's not how Jesus works. It's not you got to learn all this stuff, you got to achieve all this stuff to get to be with him. He says, no, the relationship comes first. "Come, I invite you, be with me, and I will teach you. I will lead you. I will guide you." And what's this guidance into? It's not just a way of life. The phrase here we've talked about is this, "I will make you fishers of men." And this isn't just a clever play on "they are fishermen," but this is a deeper calling of fishers of men is what you would call a rabbi. So Jesus is saying, "Come and I will make you like me." He will do the work of transformation in your life as you respond to that call of following him. And we see the disciples' response at once. "I'm in, I'm going. Sounds good." And then we see as the story continues, then Jesus goes on further and he says, "As when he'd gone a little bit farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed them." We see Jesus walks past these two guys and it's not like, we don't get this moment of him sitting there being like, do I ignore them? Like, do I want them? Do I kind of look straight ahead? No, Jesus looks and says, "No, I want you guys too. I want you too. And that's the invitation Jesus offers to each of us, that he looks at each of us. And there's not this umming and ahhing of like, oh, do I want them associated with me? Jesus looks at each of us and says, no, come. I want you. I want you to follow me. I want you to be, I want us to be associated with each other. Will you follow me? And later in the gospel, we see in Mark chapter 2, we see Jesus doing the same thing with Matthew. Matthew, a tax collector. So he, unlike the guys he's called so far, this isn't the family trade, but you can imagine it's a profitable trade. He's earning some bank as a tax collector. So there's a different sense of what Matthew is losing. But the call is the same. Come, follow me. Reorient your life around following me. And the invitation, I think, for each of us is, hey, we've probably got a different list of priorities in our head. We're each in different life stages, maybe social or family situations, career choices or paths. But yet Jesus says the invitation is the same. Will you come follow me?
If you flip with me to Mark chapter 3, we'll keep looking at Jesus' process of forming the disciples. Picking up in verse 13 of Mark chapter 3, he says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him, I love this phrase, those he wanted, and they came to him. And as David just said, you know, Jesus isn't like making this exclusive claim, like those he wanted is not like implying that there's a whole bunch that he doesn't want. You know, like when Jesus says, like, he called to him those he wanted, it's actually an invitation and a call for each and every one of us to go, to read ourselves into that text and go, he wants you, friend. Church, he wants you. He's inviting, he's in calling you to come and be with him. You see what happens then. So he's inviting them and they came to him. Verse 14, he appointed 12. Why or so what? So that they might be with him. So you thought we had some clever idea, or John Mark Comer had some clever idea about, you know, what it means to a disciple ourselves to Jesus is to first and foremost be with him. No. It's straight out of the scriptures here. Mark's gospel. What's the first goal and orientation for any apprentice to Jesus? He calls them so they might be with him, and that he might send them out to do what he does, to preach, to have authority, to drive out demons. These are the 12 that he appointed. Get this. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. I love that that's in there. What do we see? Let's just kind of press pause on the text for a minute. Because what do we see Jesus is doing, right? We're trying to observe Jesus' process of forming the disciples. He calls, invites, come, be with me. Then what we see here, he forms them immediately into a community. He forms them into a community. They're not all related. They're not necessarily even all friends. I can guarantee they probably didn't like each other. They probably didn't get on really well at first. You know, you put Simon the Zealot along with a guy named Peter, you know, like there's going to be fireworks, you know. And so, he's forming them into a community because he knows you can't go it alone. You're not going to be able to go it alone. In apprenticing ourselves to Jesus, you cannot go it alone. You have to go with others. You're going to need each other is what Jesus is doing. So he forms them into a community. And it's important to just kind of highlight here, it's not some idealized, perfect community either. It's like this ragtag bunch of people who misfits, who don't really fit together, but he's forming them into a community anyways because he knows they're actually going to need to rub each other a little bit. That's part of how we're formed. That's part of how we become more loving and more Christ-like, is by having those things, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, as iron sharpens iron, so one disciple sharpens another. I think we see this. It's not an idealistic, perfect community where their, you know, their gifts and strengths and you know, personalities all complemented each other perfectly and they made this beautiful synergy. No. You've got the last one is Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. right? I mean, if you want to make the point even more clear, like Jesus, this isn't some idealized perfect community at all, but he forms them into community because he knows you're going to need each other. You can't apprentice yourself to Jesus alone. So he calls, and then he forms into a community, and then what?
And then, if we invite you to turn to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to read from verses 6 onwards, where we see, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shoe. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And here we see Jesus teaching, apprenticing his disciples. And I love that it starts with this phrase that he gave them authority, that as his disciples, they carried his name. That as he goes to send them out, you are carrying my name. And if you think of like an apprentice in another context, gets the merch with the business name on the front. This is the moment where Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you a van that's signed with our company. Here are the keys. Trusting you go. You're representing me out in the world. That's what Jesus does. He says, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to send you out. But he doesn't just send his disciples out blind. First, he sends them in twos. You need each other. You're going to need someone else on this journey as you're practicing this stuff, someone alongside you. And then he teaches them of like, this is how you're going to, for this lesson, this is how you're going to go about it. And I love that he starts with this. The first part of the teaching is don't take anything. The first part of the teaching is go dependent on me. That when we enter into this life of apprenticeship, when we enter into what we talk around here around spiritual practices, the core of spiritual practices is never a religious act to work your way to God. The core of our spiritual practices is instead orienting our lives to be dependent on God in all that we do. Reshaping our hearts and our minds and our lives to be dependent on him. Whether it's Sabbath, whether it's prayer, whether it's engaging in scripture, a core part of each practice is, hey, will you be dependent on your God and his goodness and grace in the midst of this? And then from there, he gives them some super practical instructions. Do this, don't do this, leave when this happens. The sense of like, actually, God doesn't just send us out in disciples and like throw you in the deep end, figure it out. It's like, no, he's a good God, a good parent who says, I want to lead you. Again, I'm a master in this. You're my apprentice. I'm going to guide you in this, teach you the ways. That's how he goes about it. And then we see what happens at the end of this.
And so after a wee interlude where John the Baptist is beheaded by King Herod, we see in verse 30 of chapter 6, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. So he sent them out two by two. They go and they preach and they pray for and heal the sick. They're delivering the demon-possessed. And they come back and they tell him all that they've done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Let's stop there because we know that that actually turns out it's not such a solitary place after all. But the intent is there of Jesus' process informing people, right? He sends them, go and do all that I've done. I give you my authority. I give you my, I empower you. Go and do what I've done. And then let's come back and let's retreat together. Let's rest. And he models for them this beautiful work and then rest. Go and do and extend and then come back and retreat and find refuge in and with me. Come and be with me, he says. Come and I'll give you some rest. And it's this beautiful image of back and forth that Jesus you know, puts in there. And this is actually one of the best modes of learning for adults to this day. Reflection on practice, right? Jesus says, go and do some things, put these things into practice. Oh, and then come back and tell me how it went. And let's reflect on those things you put into practice. Let's talk about how did it go? What went well? What didn't go so well? What might you do differently next time? You know, right? I mean, you can imagine, like, this is common adult pedagogy 101, and Jesus uses it with his disciples all, you know, 2,000 some years ago. Reflection on practice. Come, be with me. Yes, we'll get some rest, but we're also going to do some reflection on practice and how it went. And so we see Jesus in his process of forming these disciples. He calls them to himself. I want you with me. He forms them into a community, not an ideal one, a real one. He teaches them and instructs them, gives them directions about how to go and do it. He sends them out to go and practice with his authority and his empowerment. And then he retreats to debrief and to rest and let's reflect on how it's gone. So we've seen this is Jesus' process of forming his disciples is in community with each other, you know, over and over and over again. So let's take a moment to for the rest of this message and let's put some wheels on it. You know, if we turn now to our church as a faith community here, David, how are we outworking this process that we see Jesus doing with his disciples? How are we pursuing that here at The Well?
So to take us on this journey, I want each of us to think of our workmate Joe. Your Joe might be a Joseph. Your Joe might be a Joanne. Your Joe might be a Jehoshaphat. But imagine the Joe in your life. Now, this Joe is someone you've been praying for. This workmate Joe, you've been praying for them. Maybe in your midday prayer for the lost. Mm. And actually, as you've been going to work, you've started on the Monday break room when it's debrief about the weekend. You've finally got the courage to say, I went to church yesterday, when the conversation gets around to you. And Joe's noticed this. And Joe mentions, I've actually got an auntie who goes to church, and I've been going down this rabbit hole of YouTube videos on Christianity. And because you've been praying or noticing Joe, there's something triggers in you of like, I think God's calling Joe. Yeah. I think Jesus is calling Joe. What do I do? And so the invitation I want to offer us this morning is there's a couple of options of conversation that we go back to Joe with. Maybe it's first, hey Joe, I know you've been watching all this stuff, but like, if you actually want to experience what a faith community looks like, what Christianity is actually like in person, I'm going to church on Sunday. Do you want to come with me and see what it's actually like? Why don't you want to come to one of our worship gatherings here at The Well? Or maybe the invitation is, hey Joe, I know you've been watching all this stuff, learning some stuff, but I like there's this great course I know where you get the information, but then you get to ask whatever you want back in response. Would you be interested in coming along to something like that? It's called an alpha course. I'll go along with you. There's good food. It'll be a fun time. And maybe Joe, like arms and ahs for a few weeks, you think they've said no, but actually comes back and said, oh, I'm willing to give this alpha course a go. And Joe comes along to our alpha course. And man, Joe turns up and is so argumentative and frustrating. And the debriefs of the table leaders is like, what are we going to do? This is derailing. But then over the course, you're like, Joe keeps coming back. Like something's going on here. And then it seems like this increasing openness and curiosity in the life of Joe. And you get to the end of the course and Joe says, I think I'm ready to give this a go. I think I'm in. I want to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. This moment where Joe has this personal call, this personal response, I choose to respond to Jesus saying, come, follow me. And now, the next question for Joe is, fantastic, you've been called. Who are you going to do this with? I've got an option for you. In that discernment, who are the people, who's the community that you're going to go on this journey with? Hey, why don't you come, like you've been on the Alpha course with us at The Well. You like some of your table leaders. Maybe you would like our church community as a whole. Come along to Welcome to The Well and you'll hear a sense of who we are as a church. What we feel God is calling us to. And maybe it can help you figure out, do you want to do this journey with us? As you follow Jesus, are we the place you want to go with? And maybe Joe goes along and says, like, this seems like the best offer I've got so far, so I'll give it a try. I might I'm going to give it a go joining the well. But I don't really know how to follow Jesus, what it means to apprentice myself to Jesus. And he's like, Joe, like, we all have to learn this process. We've got this thing that we're piloting that's actually only coming up in a couple of weeks. You might be interested. Come check it out. It's called the Practicing the Way course. It's this 8-week course where we'll be learning what it means to orient our lives around apprenticing to Jesus. And there's just some super practical things. Again, not just learning information, but actually trying some stuff. I think you might enjoy it. Joe's like, meh, let's give it a go. I like this place. You guys might offer a good course. I'll give it a try. And at the end of the course is like, yeah, I'm excited about this following of Jesus. But I need more than like just being part of a service on Sunday with all these people. I kind of want a group to really journey with. Say, Joe, that's fantastic. We have life groups around this place. And these are communities of people like Jesus gathered 12, around 12 people. Well, it's like they'll gather each week around their apprenticeship to Jesus. And we try and follow the same thing where it's like, we'll learn about an idea, but then we'll all commit to actually how we're going to try this out this week. And then when we come back the next week, we'll review. You keen to try one out, Joseph? I'll give it a go. Let's see what happens. And that's the formation discipleship journey that we want to invite Joe on, the Joes in your life to go on. And there's a few other things that we've got a part of this that I want to just also kind of signal. They're also actually part of being a community. There's something of our formation, being part of a community that's serving. Yeah. That you, again, you get to practice what it means to love people, not just in abstract, but in the actual real people that you could learn. That we also have LTGs, these groups. A life group is the size of about 12 adults, and LTGs like 2 to 4 people who meet weekly for an hour around confession of sins, prayer for the lost, and reading through scripture. And lastly, if Joe's gone on this journey for a while and we're like, man, there's a sense of God's calling Joe into like leadership, we say, hey Joe, come along to the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship course. Because around this place, we want our leaders to be leading out of the overflow of their relationship with Jesus. That's the space that they lead out of. So if you come along this, there's some really helpful skills and language that we use as a community that will be really helpful for you. So for Joe, that's fantastic. But we recognize that also for each of us, formation is not a linear process. The reason we've lined it up this way is, in my mind, for the Joes in our life, if Joe shows up and you're like, where do I see Joe? Well, like, how do I help? It would be probably actually really unhelpful for Joe if you're like, oh, they're running this Emotionally Healthy course. We'll get them along to that. Or we'll just get them in a life group. Actually, there's a sense of like, what's helpful steps for Joe's formation? There's a sense of like, actually, them meeting Jesus first is probably an important step. So that's the reason we've put them in this order. But recognizing for each of us, hey, we might jump around on this. And that's okay. And there's not a sense of like, once you make it to the end, you're good. And if you have to go back, that's a backward step. There isn't actually a back. No. That for you, the question is not how far along am I in this? It's instead the question of where is the Holy Spirit calling you in this moment, in this day, in this year, to invest in your discipleship to Jesus? Where is Jesus saying, come follow me in this specific way, and how might you respond to that? So a few examples of what this might look like. Maybe you've been around this place for years, but it's been a busy time. You've been serving on a team, running around maybe with some kids, doing some study on the side, and you've, through the summer holidays, you're like, man, I'm part of this community, but when I'm alone by myself, I don't really know who Jesus is. Like, I've kind of lost something there. And the invitation might be for you in this of like, hey, come along to an Alpha course. Come and rediscover Jesus for yourself. Right. Maybe that's the invitation. Maybe for you it's like, oh, I've been coming on and off to the well. I've kind of got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And maybe the invitation is, hey, come along to the Welcome to the Well. Hear the specific ways we following God in this church and make a decision. Do you want to follow Christ in this community? Maybe for you that's just something helpful as part of like your spiritual routine of every year or every 2 years. You're like, I just want to hear it so then I can commit fully again. That's just a helpful routine for you. Maybe for you, you're in a life group and that's your only place of connection at the well. It's like, man, I only come to a worship gathering like once every 2 or 3 months. Thanks for coming this time. But the invitation, Jesus is saying, hey, there's something of formation that also happens in this experience. Maybe this season is a committing to coming to Sunday gatherings more regularly. And I wonder if there's some of us who you'd say, actually, David, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've done Bible studies on every book of the Bible. I've got a list of podcasts I listen to. I've got my 5 top favorite preachers. But it's not really producing transformation in my life. Like, I'm actually the same person this year as I was last year, as I was 5 years ago, as I was 10 years ago. This isn't really where I've even read all the formation books and it hasn't changed anything. Maybe the invitation to you is come along to the Practicing the Way course and learn about a new way of doing faith, of an apprenticeship model where you're going to be practicing and learning that model. But again, a reminder that this isn't linear. If you're in a life group and feel like, man, I actually need to step out and do Alpha, we don't consider that a backward step. There's a sense of the stories that I love around this place. I've even heard a couple this morning of people saying, I'm sensing God has called me to this and I'm responding. Like you hearing Jesus' call on your life right now and responding, man, I love those stories. Like, way less detailed about where it lands you in the life of this place. So excited about, man, I've heard Jesus and I've responded. That gets me so excited.
That's good. Can you just leave that up for a minute, Iris? Because I want to spend a little bit of time just unpacking some of the thinking and intentionality. You know, this is like pull back the curtains kind of moment, you know, or crack open the hood. We're going under the hood, under the bonnet, in terms of some of the thinking that goes behind this. Because, yeah, it looks all nice and clean and mapped out, and that's just so we can put it on a slide and try and say things clearly and understandably, right? We know formation is messier. And it goes, you know, squirrely all the time. So here's the underlying things underneath this. Here's what you need to know first and foremost about us as a church. We have an agenda for your life. We do. And I don't want to be bait and switch or anything like that. You know, I just want to be open and honest and really clear up front. We have a very clear agenda for your life. Our agenda for you and your life is to do all we can to champion, support, resource, equip you in apprenticing yourself to Jesus, that you would orient your life around being with him, becoming like him, and doing what he does. That's our agenda for you. That's what underlies all of this. Underneath all of this, we're saying this is our top priority. This is what we want to give ourselves to. This is what we work hard for. This is why we try and make it clear and understandable to the best of our ability, because we want you and everyone who calls the well home to apprentice yourself to Jesus, to go after that. Our hope is that you would be someone who's known as a deep well. You know people who are deep wells, don't you? They've done the work of clearing out the clutter and the debris in the bottom of the well so that the living water can flow freely. They've done the work of digging into your genogram and your family history to deal with those generational patterns and that have held you back in growing onto spiritual maturity. They've done the work of digging into and being, you know, confessing and repenting and being transformed through sinful patterns and into spirit-filled patterns. They've done the work of, you know, becoming increasingly Christ-like and loving people. That's our dream for you, that you would be a deep well, one who knows how the tangible presence of God and how to host that beautifully, for not just for our benefit, but for others, that you would be one who knows how to champion and encourage people on to take the next step in their own journey towards Christ-likeness, that you would be one who shows up and expresses the love of Christ, doing what Jesus does, making the gospel known wherever he places you. That's our dream. That's our agenda. Okay, is that all right? And so we want you to reorient your whole life around apprentice to Jesus. That's our agenda. Is that okay? I'll just be upfront. All right. One of our values is to be open and honest. So this is me being open and honest. We don't want to bait and switch. We don't want you getting 3 years down the line and being like, "Well, you never told me that." No, we're telling you. It's here. It's going to be recorded. It'll be on the podcast. All right. Here's the second thing. We saw Jesus' model and Jesus' process of forming disciples was he called them, and that's for everyone. It's not an exclusive thing, that's for everyone. And then he formed them into community. So even though it says community over towards the right side, you'll notice every single one of those steps is done with others. Not a single part of the journey is done in isolation and away from people. All the way through, we are forming people in community, together with each other. Because in the way of Jesus, when you read the scriptures, if you look at Jesus' process of forming disciples, you cannot go alone. Jesus doesn't leave that option open to us. It's just not possible. You can't. There's so many, you know, like he doesn't call people, he didn't call a disciple. He called disciples, plural, right? A group of people. And he said, come and apprentice yourselves under me in community. He formed them into a community of practice, knowing that they're going to need each other. And this goes right to the very heart of salvation. When we are saved, when we receive the good news of the gospel and forgiveness in Jesus' name, guess what happens? We're adopted into the new family of God. That makes our Heavenly Father, right? God, our Heavenly Father, right? We are beloved, treasured sons and daughters of His. But that also immediately in the same breath means we have a bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ as well. The two things go hand in hand. You can't separate them, right? So here's what I would say. You know, the community piece is we want to be a community who commits to each other and prioritizes it. Because that's actually what it takes. We need to commit deeply to each other and prioritize it. So actually, rather than going, well, you know, I'll join a life group so long as it fits in and around all the other things I've already scheduled in my overcrowded and busy life. No, this is the first thing that goes in. I'm going to raise my family. We're going to be in church for worship. We're going to be in community with others, pursuing the way of Jesus together. This is a higher priority, friends, than becoming a great, you know, whatever. Whether it be a you know, career pursuit or musical and cultural pursuit or sporting pursuit or whatever, you know, other kind of, this, if we want to be genuinely pursuing the way of Jesus together, we need to commit this. We need to prioritize this. This goes in first. Everything else can fit around it. And then here's the second thing that I would say around the nature of the community, because there's all kinds of different churches out there. You know, there's all kinds of shapes, styles, flavors. I love them all. They're great. And I know that by saying this and being really bold and upfront like this, like, I know we may not be everyone's cup of tea. I'm okay with that. I really am. That's okay. That's okay with me. But I want to be clear about who we are and who we're not. You know, because I don't want people making false agreements and all that kind of stuff down the line. Like, actually to say, we have a clear agenda. This is what we're going after. And that's not in a way to be exclusive, because we want everyone to join us. That'd be amazing in pursuing Jesus, being with him, becoming like him. That'd be amazing. We want everyone to do that. But the nature is that there's pros and cons to every different style and type of church, and, you know, the big and the small, and, you know, all the different styles and things. You know, there's pros and cons to all that. There's pros and cons to our church, and we need to be aware of those and be and own those for ourselves and grow through them. The thing I'm far more concerned about is the culture and the nature of the types of communities that we're forming. So the reason why community and that journeying through life together in life groups and LTGs is kind of towards the end, and we think people need to step through certain things before they get there, is we're raising the bar of what that looks like. This is what I mean when I say talking about the culture of the group, the nature of community. John Mark Comer puts it this way. He says, I'm far more concerned. He says, with these two questions, does the community call people up to a higher level of apprenticeship, or does it devolve to the lowest common denominator of maturity or immaturity? I don't know about you, friends. I've been a Christian pretty much my whole life. I've been a pastor for over 20 years now. And I've witnessed all kinds of communities. In fact, I would say the norm of Christian community is, particularly in the Western world, one that devolves down to the lowest level of maturity in the group. That is not what we're pursuing when we say invitation to community. We actually want to see communities of practice who raise each other up and say, come on, you can do better. It's okay, you stuffed up last week. You know, that's all right. You know, come on, pick yourself back up. You know, we'll help patch you up and lovingly, you know, pray for you and care for you and build you up and say, let's go forward. And we want to see that kind of constantly playing out in the life of our church. Those be the kind of communities where we hold each other accountable and encourage and support one another in pursuing the ways of Jesus together. That be who we are, one that builds up, not devolves down to the lowest. Because here's the other warning, I guess, around community is we can't, you know, like with Jesus, the community that he formed together wasn't this ideal, perfect thing. We got to be careful that even in talking about this, that we're not talking about it in some abstract, you know, like perfect way. You know, Bonhoeffer has this beautiful line about the challenging us around idealizing it in his classic book, Life Together, where he says, those who love their dream of a Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. And then he goes on to write this, and he says, God hates this wishful dreaming because it makes the dreamer proud and pretentious. Those who dream of this idealized community demand that it be fulfilled by God, by others, and by themselves. They enter the community of Christians with their demands, set up their own law, and judge one another and even God accordingly. And I don't know about you, but I've seen so many people walk away from church, walk away from God, because their experience of Christian community fell short of their idealized picture and the law that they set up and the judgment. You know what I mean? I've just seen it play out far too often. So I say all this to say, friends, while we have this lovely discipleship pathway and we want you to in community and journeying together, we're very realistic to go, we know it's not going to be ideal and perfect because I know you and I know me. And I'm not ideal or perfect, and neither are you. And so why would we think that when we get formed together in a community to walk together in the ways of Jesus, that we're not going to step on each other's toes and, you know, like, you know, spend too long in the bathroom so you're holding everyone else up, and there's going to be those, you know, like, it's just going to be like, that's what it is, right? That we get in each other's way, but the truth is, we need each other. It's the only example Jesus gave. He formed them in community with each other. We need each other to pursue the ways of Jesus. And so we need to commit and we need to say, yes, I'm in. We need to, instead of some idealized, perfect vision, kind of I'm trying things out just to see if, you know, the well really stacks up. No. The call is this. We need to commit to this church and to this pastor and to these leaders and to these setbacks and challenges and less ideal things, but also to these celebrations and these things that do go really well. And we need to commit to, you know, these, not this abstract, you know, kind of journey, but actually a real concrete community of people, because we need it. And boy, it's worth it when we get to taste those little glimmers of, yes, that's it. It's so worth it. So where do we go from here, David? What might our next steps be?
Cool. So yeah, I want to land it super practically this morning. And I guess sharing this, that our heart is that everyone would enter in and grow, that we want each person to be become a resilient disciple of Jesus. And we would love, on our discipleship pathway, everyone in the life of this church to be in a life group. But we've got this funny thing that's happened. You guys are so passionate around spiritual formation that for the first time since I've been here, all of our life groups are full, which is awesome good news on one sense of like, man, there is a heart, there is a passion, there is a desire to be formed in the image and likeness of Christ. But also, we got to find some creative ways to address this. So firstly, in the middle of the year, in July, I'm currently recruiting a bunch of leaders to launch a bunch of new life groups. But before we get there, I do not want anyone who's not involved to miss out, to wait, to put it off. I want us to have an opportunity to respond now to where God is calling us. So, a few options. Firstly, all of our life groups in the life of this place are working through some practices this year, four practices. Sabbath, prayer, solitude, and generosity. And the invitation is, if you are not in a life group, hey, don't miss out on this journey. Gather together, if you know people around this place, two or three households, and do the Sabbath practice together. I have the resources to lead you through that as a group. Get in touch with us. Hey, I've got some people. We want to go on this journey. We want to learn what it means to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. Will you support me in that? And I will help. If you're like, man, I want to go on that journey. I don't have two or three households. Get in touch. I'm going to try and pull together some two or three households. If you're like, actually, that idea of an LTG of like 2 to 3 to 4 people doing confession, prayer, and scripture together. I like the sound of that. Again, if you've got 2 or 3 people, send them a text today. Get in touch. Get in touch with me, and I'll set you up with that. There's a bunch of cards that I've got to help do that. Or if you're like, I want to be part of one of those, I don't have 2 to 3 people, get in touch with me and we'll figure that out. If for you this morning, as I shared at the start, you're like, David, I think I do have a Joe. And I think this is a confirmation that I need to engage with Joe and their journey towards Christ. Maybe the invitation is invite them to Alpha. Alpha kicks off term 2, start of May, Monday night here at the Well. Fantastic place to bring them on that journey of meeting Christ. If for you, you're like, actually, I need to learn for myself what it means to apprentice myself to Jesus. Register for the Practicing the Way course, Tuesday nights, term 2 here at the Well. Love to have you part of that. Maybe for you hearing this morning, you're just like, yeah, I haven't really made the call of if this is my community. And maybe that's just the decision for you today of like, this is my place. Or maybe this isn't your place. And like, Clint and I know fantastic churches around it. Please don't sneak out the back door. We'd love to be like, oh, go to this place. This place might fit you far more. But if your decision this morning is, hey, I actually need to commit to this church, we'd love to journey with you on that. But yeah, the encouragement this morning is, where is God calling you? Where is the Holy Spirit leading you today? And how can we support you on that journey? How can we tap into where Jesus is leading you and calling you into community on this journey?
So if you remember, Jesus called people, come, follow me. Reorient your life around being with me, becoming like me, doing what I do. Invitation that he issues to each and every one of us. He formed them into a community. He taught them. He sent them in his authority and empowerment to go and do what he does. And then he gathered them back. Tell me, how did it go? Let's rest together. This is the rhythms. These are the practices that we want you to live into. Not in some abstract way, but in a real way. Because we want you to be one of those deep well people where you are a gift and a blessing to those around you. I have a group of friends. They're more than friends. They're a community of 5 other pastors from around Aotearoa who are those deep wells themselves. But as a community together, we have a sense of bond and connection, and that's the strength of that relational connection with each other is because we have shared some of our deepest, most broken, awful parts about ourselves and yet loved each other still through it. And remain with and for each other and pray for each other and pray for healing and believe in faith. Those guys have been such a gift to me. And I believe it's possible for you to experience that too in your journey of apprenticing to Jesus with others here at the Well. That's my hope. That's my desire, is that you would see and you'd sit around and you go, man, I love coming to worship, it's great, you know, but actually here's my 10 others in my life group who, man, I rely on them. We are pursuing this together. We don't do it perfectly, you know. Old mate over there says the weirdest stuff, but, you know, love him anyways, you know. I mean, but that's part of it, right? It's part of it. And when we get to experience that sense of pursuing and cheering one another on towards Christ's likeness, there is nothing like it. It's like a taste of heaven on earth. It's stunning. It's so encouraging. And I want you to know that support. I want you to know that encouragement That's our hope, that's our heart as we pursue the ways of Jesus, that we do it together. Amen? Can I pray for you? Lord, we thank you that as we've looked through your, you know, a couple of different snapshots really in those early chapters of Mark, that we see this little glimpse into your process of forming your disciples. And we thank you for the ways that you have led us here at the Well to outwork that and find ways for us to pursue it here in community together. Lord, I pray that this would be more than just a cool slide with some words on it, but actually this would become a lived out reality that is so encouraging and supportive and life-giving in the life of our church. For each one here, Lord, I pray that in engaging in these journey together with one another, that you would be making us more like you, Jesus. That our behaviors would be transformed. That our attitudes would be transformed. That our motivations, the very core of who we are, would be changed and transformed. That you would make us to be those deep wells where you're clearing all the debris, all the clutter at the bottom of the well, so that the spring of living water can flow freely up and through our lives and overflow out to be a blessing to others. Make us more like you, Jesus, more Christ-like and more loving, I pray. May love be the measure of our maturity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.